Tonight is my great honor to share the Word of God with you. This is not a message that's necessarily geared towards youth or towards children's ministry or to adults, but rather understanding that each group is represented in this room tonight. And I know that, and I'm mindful of that. And so here's the heart of my message. If you hear anything tonight, hear this. Every person at every point of their lives has a divine assignment. Every person at every point of their lives has a divine assignment. Amen. And if you're hearing me tonight, and those of you who are watching online, right now, where you are in your life, God has great plans and a specific assignment for you. Tonight, my goal is to encourage you, to build you up, because I believe that God is calling each and every one of us to a higher level of faithfulness to the call that he has for our lives. Amen? And I'm going to get us out of here on time, I think. Before we go any further, let's pray one more time. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this night. I thank you, God, that your presence has already come forth. And God, I just pray that as your word comes forth now, God, that it would be received by each listener, by each hearer, by each person watching online. God, I pray that they would just receive what you have for them. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Amen. And amen. Well, open up your Bibles with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Romans chapter 11, verse 29. And I want to start here. But here's the thing that I want to say first. We have a tendency to confuse two things. We have a tendency to confuse a gift with a calling. Now, let me walk through the difference real quick. Romans chapter 11, verse 29 says this, "For God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn." For his gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Now, you do not have to be an English major to catch this, but the word gifts is plural, which means more than one. And the word call is singular, which means only one. From this passage, we can gather this statement. Each person is given different gifts to accomplish a singular call. Each person is given different gifts to accomplish a singular call. And our calling, and this happens a lot with young people. I'm trying to find out what my calling is. I don't know what I'm called to do. And I can answer that very simply. You are called to preach the gospel of Jesus to all creation. It's as simple as that. See, God does not call people to be talented musicians. He gifts them to be talented musicians. And those people are supposed to use that gift for the purpose of reaching people for Jesus. People are not called to be artists. God gifts people to be artists. There's a difference between a gift and a call. And if you talk to people in the world, especially people who are in the arts, they'll tell you things like, music is my calling. Art is my calling. This endeavor, it's my calling. It's what I'm supposed to do. But we know it's not a calling, it's a gift. And those gifts are supposed to serve a purpose. And that purpose is to reach people for Jesus Christ. How many of you know there are a lot of people, musicians in Hollywood, who are given the gift of music, but they do not use it to glorify God? You can think of any musician, any actor, any athlete, any person that has a gift, and they were supposed to use that to bring glory to God. But in some cases, we see people doing exactly the opposite. But God does not withdraw his gifts or his call. So even though they might be using it for evil purposes, God is not going to take that gift away, because his word says his gifts and his call cannot be withdrawn. Our calling is simple. It's in Mark 16, 15. We know the scripture. It says, "And he told them, go into all the world," someone shout all, "and preach the good news to everyone." Someone say everyone. This is one of the most inclusive scriptures there is. It says, if you are included in the word all, then you have an assignment. Where do I go? Everyone. I'm glad that for someone like me, the Bible keeps it simple. All people are called to go and preach the gospel to all people. You've probably heard this before, but it's worth saying again, this is the Great Commission and not the Great Suggestion. This scripture shows us that the singular call is presented to all believers. All believers have the same calling. We all have the call to go and to preach the good news to everyone. Now, let me speak to you for just a minute here. That's our calling. This is something we get confused a lot too. Evangelism is not a gift. Telling people about Jesus, you can't say, well, it's just not my gift. You know, I'm just not comfortable talking in front of people. Well, neither was Moses. And God said, that's all right, go talk to Pharaoh. And it's funny that he takes Aaron, he takes his brother with him, but his brother never says anything. Moses still does all the talking. That's because telling people about Jesus is not a gifting, it's our calling. It's not an optional thing. I've talked to a lot of people and they tell me, well, I'm just not gifted that way. That's okay. It's not a gift. It's your calling. You know, my wife could say, you know, babe, can you do the dishes? Oh, it's just not my gift. You know, I don't know. You know, unloading that dishwasher and then loading it back up. I just don't know if I'm equipped to do that. It's like, you're equipped. This is not a matter of, are you gifted enough to do this? This is a matter of, are you willing to do what God has asked you? You know, our challenge is to discover and use the gifts that God has given us and see how we can use those gifts to answer our call, our singular call. We are all called to reach people for Christ, but God has wired you the way you are for a reason. And don't think for one minute that the way that God has made you is an accident. Your attention to detail, the way you see things, God has made you that way for a purpose. God has gifted us all differently. Aren't you glad that God has given us different giftings? Yes. Could you imagine if every person in here had the gift of being a pastor or of preaching? And my sermon was one of 50 tonight. I'm like, I'd finish at 7:30 and be like, all right, who's next? You know, if we hurry, we might be done in time for breakfast tomorrow. Like, aren't you glad that we are gifted in different ways? Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Chapter 9, verse 35. And I want to read through verse 38. It says this. And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, for they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. I'm saying that 10 times fast. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. The Bible says the harvest is plentiful. There is no shortage of lost people who do not know the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no shortage. And you may not feel like God has gifted you in a way that you can answer the call, but I would push back. And I would say maybe you just haven't found out how you're going to use your gifts for his kingdom. Because I believe that each person is gifted. Every person has something. And I believe that God can use that gift, whatever the gift is he's given you, he can find purpose in it and use it for his kingdom. Amen? Let me say this. The first statement that I said was that each person at every point in their life has a divine assignment. The call of God is not limited to a certain time in your life. There's not a frame of time where God says, you know what, at this point in their life, you have from this age to accomplish your call. There's no time limitation of your life to when you have a divine assignment. There is someone in the world who needs you to answer the call of God on your life. Somebody needs you to answer the call. Young people in your schools, someone needs you to answer the call of God. Young adults in your college campuses, someone needs you to answer the call of God. In your workplace, God needs you to answer the call and to be the light. If there's any toddlers watching from nursery, God needs you to answer the call in your daycares. You know, it's easy to shrug that off as a joke, but, you know, we have testimonies of kids who come to our preschool, take the gospel back to their home, and their parents come to church. Yes, there is not a limit of time to when God can use somebody. Each person has a divine assignment from God at every point of their lives. And I want to share this. Your relationship with Jesus is personal, but Christianity is not. Christianity is not about you. Your personal relationship with Jesus is you and God. It's intimate. But when you step into this place of I am a Christ-like follower, there's some responsibilities that come with that. And that is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm serious. Sharing is part of enjoying God. How many of you got TikTok on your phone? Don't look at me so holy. You find a video, it's hilarious. What do? Share, send. You try a new restaurant, what do? Oh man, you gotta try this new restaurant. It's so good, it's so good. You gotta try this restaurant. You hear a new song, oh, this song is amazing. You gotta hear this song. And you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and we do what? Share it, sometimes, always. That's my challenge to us. Sharing the gospel is a part of enjoying it. It's a part of our Christianity. My relationship with Jesus is personal, but Christianity is not about me. Christianity is about me proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom to all people. Amen? Look what 1 Corinthians says. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to read verse 12 through 19. It says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. Someone say whole. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body, one spirit, and we all share the same spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, this does not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body were an ear, how would you smell? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. How strange would it be if you said, well, I don't serve on this team. I don't feel like I'm a part of the church. How strange would it be if you said, well, I don't have that gift that I want. I'm not even a part of the body. The body needs each and every part. Amen? You know, those of you who work out, you might know this term. There's this term called show muscles. Okay? Now, this is mostly guys who go to the gym, they hit biceps, chest, shoulders, back, all the things that are shown frequently. You know, you don't see these guys working out their legs very often. Now, I don't mean to tell on myself, and I'm wearing pants, so you can't tell, but I am built like a chicken. And I'm okay with that. You know, some people will brag about their muscles. You know, what's your bench? You know, what can you hit? Oh, I can do this. How much can you lift? Oh, or how fast can you run? How fast can you run? But you don't hear people bragging about, you know what? My kidneys are working excellent today. I just got my labs done. And let me tell you, they are firing on all cylinders. Be like, what? But here's the thing. Look what 1 Corinthians says. It says in chapter 12, verse 22, it says, in fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Now look, you can live without an arm. You can live without a leg. You can't live without kidneys. But you don't hear no one bragging about their kidneys. Even if you feel like your role, even if you feel like you don't have a role, if you feel like you don't know what your role is in the kingdom of God, it is essential. God needs each part of the body to work in unity with one another so that we can accomplish one goal. He's gifted us all differently to accomplish the call of God on our lives, which is to reach people for Jesus Christ. We have an assignment that is essential and needed. You know, and I said this earlier, no matter what stage of your life that you are in, God has an assignment for you. You know, as a child, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, we see a boy named Samuel. And how old is Samuel in this passage? The scripture says that he was weaning off milk. So Samuel is probably the age of 3 or 4 in that time. I know that seems very old now, but in that time, he's probably 3 or 4. He hears a voice call to him that says, "Here I am." He runs to Eli, who's the high priest, sort of a father figure to him. He says, "Here I am. You called me." You know, probably like a little kid though, like a little squeaker. Eli didn't call him. He says, "Go lay down. This is not out of the ordinary." I know, because I also have a son who's 3 years old, does some pretty similar things. It'll be dead silent, trying to get him to go to sleep. "What'd you say, Dad? What, Dad?" I said nothing. I said, "Go to sleep 10 minutes ago." "What? I just want to talk to you." I'm like, "Go to sleep." But like, if you're Eli, like, and he's had Samuel there, he probably wouldn't think anything of it, right? It seems a little out of the ordinary. He's like, "I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." The cycle repeats a few times. And Eli realizes that God was calling Samuel. Jump with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 8 through 9. It says this: "A third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realizes that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down. And if the Lord calls you, say, Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.' So Samuel went down and lay down in his place." The reason Samuel didn't understand what was happening all these times is answered in the verse just before this. In Samuel, 1 Samuel 3, verse 7, it says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." He doesn't recognize the voice that's calling him. You will never hear from God if you don't recognize his voice. The Bible says that the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him, but let me tell you that to each and every one of us, the word of the Lord has been revealed. The physical manifestation of the word of God was revealed to us when Jesus was born into this world. So we know the voice of God. The problem is not that God isn't speaking. The problem is that we are not responding. Why don't I ever hear from God? You probably are, but maybe you don't recognize his voice. The Lord calls him 3 times and he goes to the wrong source. He goes to the wrong place. Have we done that? Have you thought you heard something from God? Did God give you a dream one time that you ran off and tried to accomplish on your own? But your environment will affect whether you hear God or not. Your environment, where you surround yourself. Watch this, in 1 Samuel, this is in verse 3 in that same chapter. It says, "The lamp of God had not gone out yet, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was." Where the ark of God was. Now, if you look at like biblical symbolism and what certain things represent, when we see the ark of God, what it represents is his presence. So where is Samuel when he hears the voice of God? Resting in God's presence. You want to hear the voice of God? You need to get alone in his presence. You need to lie down and wait for him to speak to you. And when you hear the voice of God, you respond and say, Lord, your servant is listening. Samuel hears the voice of God when he's resting in his presence. This is a quick side note. I don't know if you know this, but there are people looking for the Ark of the Covenant today, which is crazy because so many people touch it and just die immediately. Can you imagine? Hey, what's this? I think I found it. What happened to him? I don't know. What was he grabbing? Grab it. Or let me see what that... But it's the representation of the presence of God. So Samuel is resting in the presence. And Samuel plays a significant role in Scripture. He goes on to do many things, eventually anointing David to be king of Israel, which in the lineage will go all the way down to Jesus. So yes, God will call young people. And I hope you hear that, because some of you are older than 3 or 4, and God could have a great plan for your life, and God could be calling you. So my message to you young people is this: get yourself in a place where you are hearing God's voice, and get in his presence. Get in his presence, and his voice will become clear to you. And his voice will be clear when you know the word of God. You'll recognize what his voice sounds like. Get alone with God. God will call young people, yes, but what about people who are maybe past their prime? If you're a basketball player, that's about 33 years of age and older. If you're not a basketball player, then I don't know what it is. That's up to you. But even in their old age, in Scripture, we see two people, Abram and Sarai. And God puts an incredible promise on their life. When Abram was 76 years old, his wife was 66 years old, God tells him that he will have a son. But an important detail, God does not say when. All they know is that God promised me that I would have a son. But in the natural, it's impossible. Right? 76, 66, not quite childbearing ages, okay? Not usually a concern you have. And after 10 years of no child, no success, they decided to take God's promise out of his hands and to put it in their own. Sarai, she has an Egyptian slave, and she offers him as a second wife to Abram, and a son is born unto them who is Ishmael. Now, in a sense, they received the promise of God, but it wasn't from him. We can't try to take God's promise out of his hands and put it into our own. Amen. And God won't always tell you when. But some of you in this room, God has given you dreams and a vision for a business that you're going to start. And maybe you've tried it in your own way and it hasn't worked out the way you want it to. But God is going to bring it to life in his timing. There could be all kinds of things you're praying for. And God will bring it to you in his timing. We can't take the promises of God out of his hand and put them in our own. We have to leave the promise in God's hand and trust that he will bring the promise to us in his timing. Amen. I'm going to begin to close with this story, Brother Scott, if you make your way. Genesis chapter 16, verse 15 says, Hagar gave birth to Abram's son, and Abram named his son Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born from Hagar. That's how we know he was 76, because it says he was 86 and it happened 10 years later, right? And going on to chapter 17, verse 1 through 5, when Abram was 99 years old, pause, that's a long time. 13 years have passed. Some of you in this room are not even 13 years old. 13 years has passed, and God speaks to Abram again. The Lord appeared to him, and he said, I am God all-powerful. the El Shaddai. Obey me and live the right way. If you do this, I will prepare an agreement between us. I will promise to make your people a great nation. Then Abram bowed down before God. God said to him, this is my part of the agreement. I will make you the father of many nations. I will change your name from Abram to Abraham, because I am making you the father of many nations. Do you know that God is preparing an agreement for you? And God has promises for you. And God has great things for you, but he's preparing that agreement. God also gives a new name to his wife. She goes from Sarai to Sarah because she will have a son named Isaac. What does Abraham do when he hears this promise? He laughs. This is nearly 25 years after they received the initial promise from God. 25 years later. And the discouragement increased each year, I'm sure. They received the promise. Abram at the time, he says, I'm 76, my wife is 66. It's not gonna work. Then as the years go by, what happens? Man, if it didn't work when we were 76 and 66, it's not gonna work 10 years from now. It's not gonna work 20 years from now. And 25 years later, God remembers the promise and reminds him. Abraham laughs almost, and we look at this and sometimes we look at it humorously, but when I read this, it's almost like he's laughing at the idea, like, God, we gave up on that a long time ago. That's what I see when I read it. Because in the natural, he cannot have a child and his wife cannot bear a son. But thankfully, we serve a supernatural God who, despite what it says in the natural, does not trump what God can do in the supernatural. Amen? 25 years after the promise was made, Isaac was born. Genesis 21, verse 1 through 2. The Lord came to visit Sarah as he said he would, and he kept his promise to her. At exactly that time, God said it would happen. Sarah became pregnant and gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. God has not forgotten the promise that he made to you. The dream that you had years ago, God has not forgotten it. Is the time now? Maybe not. But God will come back and fulfill his promise. Don't feel the need to try and take the promise out of God's hands and put it in your own, because we know that God is in control. Samuel was called as a boy. Abraham and Sarah were called in their old age. Each disciple that was called came from all different places. Matthew was a young man. Levi, who was a tax collector. Peter, like all these people are in different places, but all of them were called by God, because God has a divine assignment for every person of every age at every time. And God is going to use the things he's gifted you with to accomplish your calling. And again, what is my calling? My calling is to reach people and to let people know that while they were born dead into sin, there is a way out. That you may be very, very lost, but in one moment, you can be very, very found. Amen. And that Jesus can turn your life around in one moment, in one prayer. Jesus can make the difference. And the difference is this, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. It's as simple as that. But look what verse 14 says in the same chapter. It says, but how can they call on them to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear unless somebody tells them? And how will anyone go to tell them unless they are sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messenger who brings the good news. Tonight, I am bringing you the good news. Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead. And all the sins of the world were nailed on that cross. And while Jesus rose up, the sins on the cross stayed there. And our sins are not ours anymore, because Jesus has taken them and he has made us free and he has cleansed us. All across this room, would you please bow your heads and close your eyes? And I just feel like this is for somebody. Whether you're here or you're watching online, this is for you too. That if there's anybody here who has not given their life to Jesus, or maybe you did some time ago, but you're not living for him, God is calling you back tonight. In this moment, it might be a promise to your parents that you would come back to Jesus. Father, I just pray right now that you would just soften the hearts of each person who is hearing this message. And if there's anybody here, and this with no one looking around, this is not for anyone to see. This is not for me to see. This is just for us to be honest with ourselves. If you are here and you need to give your life to Jesus for the first time or as a rededication, I want you to raise your hand right now in this place and raise it high. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Thank you. That's all right. I'll wait. I'll wait a minute. I just feel strongly that there's more people who need to pray this prayer to get back on track. Hallelujah. I see your hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see your hand. I see your hand. Hallelujah. I see your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Hallelujah. We read Romans 10. Here's what we're going to do. The whole family in this room is going to pray tonight. Okay, because we don't want people entering the family of God alone tonight. And I'm going to help you with what the scripture says for what the words to confess are. But I cannot believe in your heart for you. So this has to come from you. Church, would you pray this out loud with me? Father God, I believe that you sent your son, Jesus, to die and raise from the dead for me. Jesus, forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness and help me to forgive those who have sinned against me. Jesus, come into my heart. Challenge me, change me, and make me the person you want me to be. My life is yours today, never to be taken back. Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everyone, look at me real quick, all across this room, look at me. I believe with everything in me, with everything I got, that if you prayed that prayer, and you confessed it with your mouth, and you believed it in your heart, that if Jesus were to come back for his church in this moment, that he would come back for you too. Yes. And don't let anyone make you doubt that. If you prayed that, you are saved. Amen? And we had 5 hands raised to join or rejoin the family of God tonight. So give God some glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. This is only the start. Young person, this is only the start. This is not the finish line. This is the starting line. And everything changes from here on out. Amen.